you have reinforcements? Yeah, reinforcement.
I need prayer.
So you got one there.
It'll be ready for y'all.
It's nice knowing you, Donna.
Yeah, but we will.
You know, that sounded like a threat to me, but I don't know for sure. But, you know, that song there, The Lighthouse, of course, a lot of people's, because it's such a powerful message. But I tell you, the darkest place I was ever in my lifetime, where literally I could not see my hand, if I touched my nose, I couldn't see my hand, was Mammoth Cave. When they turned the lights off, how many of you have been to Mammoth Cave? Been down there when they turned them lights off? You can't see the hand, you can touch yourself. You don't know whether it's your hand or someone else's. That's what they thought too. I'm just saying. But when that guy gets that flashlight, you could have seen that flashlight all over that cave. So what's the message? The message is, no matter how dark you get in your life, of sin, frustration, disappointment, however way Satan is messing with you, when you call upon the name of Jesus, no matter how dark it is, that light comes on. It will guide you.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand. Well, last week in Sunday school, and I mentioned it in church, about everybody's got a button. You remember that? Well, I got a lot of feedback from that particular sermon. One person called me, I can't mention the name, called me and said, I tell you, that was wonderful. That was wonderful. I listened to that, and I can't tell you how big a button my wife got. I said, well, how big a button you got? I said, well, I got no buttons. But my wife got a big one. And he said, I am so tickled. He said, I got to make sure that she hears this sermon. Now, I appreciate you calling me, Carl. Let me know that.
You told me you wouldn't tell.
No, if you can't trust your preacher, who can you trust?
I hope somebody's driving towards Taylor's
house. Big one.
No, I'm teasing. He didn't say that the button was big on his sweet, wonderful, precious Renee. He didn't say that at all. I'm just making a point. I still got him in trouble, but I made a point. But seriously, I did get some emails and responses from the button and said, listen, we know exactly what you're saying because Satan seems, no matter how small my button gets, sometimes Satan still seems to find a way to push it. Well, understand, folks, let's give him as less target as we can, because the smaller the button, the better the life. Everybody understand that? Give the Lord a hand of applause tonight. Alright, let's continue on. Are you ready to receive biblical advice? And everybody said?
Amen.
Alright, there, here we go. Proverbs again. Let me just say, I love this book. I think it is one of the best books in the Bible. Maybe next to the four Gospels because it deals with the life of Jesus. But this is part of the Bible that, folks, no matter what you're dealing with in life, you need biblical advice. And this is good stuff. This is gospel stuff. This is stuff that I promise you is life-changing if you'll study it, look at it, and ask God to help you. Do you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. Get into verse 9 here in the third chapter. It says, honor God with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, that thy vats shall overflow with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of God, neither be worried. this we pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, may we truly understand what your word says. Father, may it come alive on the page. May we truly understand, Father, what a blessing to have God's word. What a blessing to hear it, to apply to our lives. That we, Father, can be in sync with you. There is no greater feeling on this planet than to be in your will, Father. And I pray that each and every family, each and every person here finds themselves in your will. May we understand the biblical advice. In Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
Now, some people think that verse 9 and 10 is talking about tithes and offerings. And it can be. Maybe it is. But I think it's talking about blood stuff. It says, honor God with thy substance. I'm substance. Substance is something you can touch, you can feel. So I'm substance. So honor God with yourself. See what I'm saying? Substance. My car is a substance. When I'm using that car to go to the hospital to visit somebody, when I use that vehicle to come here to church, if I use that vehicle to go visit somebody in the name of Jesus, that vehicle is a substance. Thank God that it'll start when I get in it. Thank God the tires all have air in it when I get in it. You understand that? Sometimes if you're more thankful for that piece, I mean for that car, maybe the better it'll run. You ever thought about that? Because here, let me tell you, I am a very even-tempered person. Now, when it comes to my automobile, on occasions, I've been known not to be even-tempered.
Amen.
One lousy time, Carl happened to be with me.
No.
I'm telling the story, Carl, because you keep twisting it around so much you don't know.
You don't want me to tell us.
No, that's right. I don't want you to tell the story. All right? A little while back in the day, I got into my vehicle, and it wouldn't turn over. Didn't mean it wouldn't start. You know, they got to turn over before they'll start. And so the battery was dead. Now, it was a time. Have you ever noticed that when your car doesn't work, it's when you need it the most? Am I the only one that happens to?
No.
I got to get to work. I got to get here. I got to get there. And it won't do what it's supposed to do. All right? So I thought that I would call a friend of mine who would never hold over my head because I wasn't in the best of moods. I thought this would be a person that I could trust. I thought this would be a person that would never throw up in my face because I might be holy preachery at the moment. Well, that was the wrong call for me to make. Because every day I've heard about that. That's been 2 or 3 years ago. But understand something. That when Satan goes to push the button, we do not have to respond in the way Satan wants us to respond. Now, I wasn't very thankful for that vehicle at the moment. I wanted to junk it. I wanted to sell it. I wanted to take a chain to it. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Because when I was 11 years old, in the wintertime, my father went out, and he had a Falcon. Now, if you're old enough to remember, Falcons were not really the best of cars back in the day. And I know we got some people that retired from Ford Loops, so I'll overlook it at the moment. You remember them Falcons back in the 60s, all right? My dad went out there and it wouldn't start. It turn over, it would not stop. Now, my father in his younger days had a little more energy, which means he had a little bit more of a temper. He went and got a log chain that he kept in the back of it because he pulled it more than he ever drove it. He got that chain, and he beat that car. There wasn't an inch on that car. He did not beat that car. Hood, roof, trunk, wherever. All right? Wasn't a place on that car I didn't beat. He put the chain back in the trunk, and so help me if God is my witness. He got in that car, and it started right over. Give the Lord a hand of applause. So you see, I was taught by the best. Now, Carl wouldn't let me take a chain to it. He said, let's just go get a new battery.
No, you just verbally abused it. You just called it pretty much everything in the
book. Well, Carl, I called you everything in the book.
Well, I came to help you, though.
Yeah, I know, but you was making fun of me, and it wasn't the time to make fun of me. All right? Have you ever noticed that when you're in a bad mood, everybody wants to make fun of you? Have you ever noticed that? You know, can't do that. You just can't do that. Now, understanding one thing. When it says here, honor God without substance, how do you honor God? You're thankful for it, no matter what, because it's a gift. Now, I'll tell you something else that really gets us going. It's when we don't feel good. When our health is a little iffy. We got some issues going on. You ever notice that? You ever notice when I don't feel good, I don't have much patience? And I'm always saying, why me? Why me? Why is my kidneys like they are? Why is my heart like it is? Why do I have a weight issue? Why is my foot always like it is? And that's not because it's in my foot. It's not because it's in my mouth. It's because I got a sore there. It's getting better, but it's still not healed. But I just got all kinds of issues. And if I really stop to think about it, that really gets me down. It gets me depressed because I'm not young anymore. And so I've got issues. And then I think this one thing. I'm alive. I can still do what God's called me to do. I still got a roof over my head. I do have a vehicle that'll start at the moment. Understand this. When I begin to change how I think, honor God with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thy increase. You know what first fruits are? It's the very first thing that crosses my mind. Because when something goes wrong, Satan comes to my mind and wants me to lose control. That's the very first thing that we want to do when things don't go exactly the way we want them to go. The first fruits here not only is your tithe, and I'm going to get to that in a moment, I'm not skipping that. But all I'm saying is first fruits is also first thoughts. When Jesus is in my heart and in my mind, you'd be surprised what your first thought is, even when things are going wrong. What is the first thought? What's the first thing you say? You know, what do you do when it's not a good day or it's a bad moment? Or you get something in the mail, or you read an email, or the boss is in a bad mood, or the wife's in a bad mood, or the children have done something dumb. What is it? What's the first thing that you want to do? You want to react. And understand, folks, reactions are killers. And I'll tell you why reactions are killers. We talked about this in Sunday school. Because it's according to how you react can be dangerous to your health. You know how many people have strokes because they get so mad? Have heart attacks? Because they get so mad, they can't see straight. Next thing you know, you're laying in a bed. You can't talk straight because you got so mad, you lost control. And when you lose control, folks, there's a lot of things that can happen to you. And you did it because you reacted to something. The first thing that needs to come to your heart and mind is, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? Now, I'm not saying I do that all the time, but I am saying the older I get, the wiser I get, the more calm that I get, I do try to react in that way. Sometimes I don't. I'm going to be the first to admit to you, but I try. Because the first thing you do, if you're not careful, can be the last thing you do. For those of you in the medical field, the pharmacy field, am I right? You better watch what you do. Watch how mad you get. Watch your blood pressure. Watch what happens. You can pay for it the rest of your life because your button is so big that it's being pushed all the time. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Now, today we would say our home, and the vat shall overflow with new wine. Vat here could be anything that fills your life. Always say this, God's into meeting your wants. Meet your needs. Boy, let me take it back. Lord, don't watch on the internet. Let me take it back. Let me rephrase that. He's into giving you what you need. On occasions, he even gives you what you want. But he's really into giving what you need, as long as you understand the formula. Now, what's the formula? Now, understand this. I don't talk about money very often. Tithes and offerings. Here a couple of years ago, you've heard me tell you this. We had a very bad year in 2000, I think it was 13. We lost a lot of money around here. We lost almost $10,000 in 1 year. In January 2014, I preached on tithing the whole entire month. Within 2 months, we got that $10,000 back, and we've never looked back. Now, we don't have the people that we want, but folks, this church has more money than it's had in my 30 years of being here, because people understand you can't outgive God. And you understand, we're here, the doors are open, the bills are being paid, the roof's been blown off half the time, this place has been destroyed at all kinds of levels. My office was destroyed back here. Now, there ain't a preacher in this county got an office. Give the Lord a hand of applause. And we understand God's grace. We honor him with the first fruits. This is what we do. Because if I don't honor his house, my house may fall down around me. You understand that? That's what that means. You take care of God, God's going to take care of you. Honor his house. Let the barns. You see this word field? This is emotionally, physically, and bank account. Now, does that mean you're going to be rich? Absolutely not. What is rich? Compared to who? Compared to some people, I'm about as poor as they come. Compared to other people, I'm as rich as they come. But I don't compare myself to nobody. I'm just thankful I got a dollar. I'm thankful I got a car that ain't broke down. I'm thankful I got a roof over my head. Because I use my house for the Lord. I use my car for the Lord. I use my bank account for the Lord. That's why there's a dime in there. Give the Lord a hand of applause.
See, Satan's all about fun.
all that's going to, what price that's going to pay for down the road. He's just interested in getting you through the moment. How many things we've done in a moment will we've been punished for the rest of our lives? Because Satan said, it's okay. You've earned it. You deserve it. Biggest lies are put on the face of the earth. We have to understand something, folks. God has his way of punishing us with love that is fantastic. I'm thankful for conviction. I need it every day of my life. Because if I think something, say something, do something, and it's not in his will, I'm going to know about it. Now, he ain't going to take a ball bat and hit me over the head. But I promise you, I wish I'd had a ball bat over my head if I'd have went back in my life and corrected some of the mistakes I made over the last 58 years. I'd rather have a ball bat. A ball bat would have been easier than what I had to deal with, what you've had to deal with. But understand this. Neither be weary, what it says, of his correction. Reproof means correction. Because it may hurt for a moment, but you will live to see another day if you walk with Jesus. Because he did not promise us there wouldn't be any pain in his life. Look at the pain he went through. He went through some horrible pain for hours on that cross. 3 days later, there was no more pain. Because he was alive. There's a price to be paid. But then there's a heaven to earn. Jesus paid the price for you. You shouldn't have to pay that price to life if you listen, if you learn, and if you obey. You don't have to go through the same thing. Listen, learn, obey. I promise, you listen to God's word. You learn from him. You agree with him. You obey his word. You try to live your life that way. And I promise you, no matter whatever life throws at you, whatever Satan throws at you, you will be able to handle it. You'll handle it with grace. And when you do, you become one of the strongest, biggest witnesses on this planet. When you go through hell and you come out on the other side through heaven, you are a witness for Jesus. Give the Lord a hand. Alright, we're not going to finish this up, but we'll get through another verse or two. Of whom God loveth, he chastens, he reproves, he corrects, even as the Father, the Son, in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the gaining of it is better than the gaining of silver, and the profit thereof than fine gold. Happy is the man, is the woman, is the person who findeth. You can't find something unless you're looking for it. You don't know you're lost until you've been convicted. How can you find Jesus until you know you need him? Does that make sense? Now, when you realize you've lost something, then you want to, if it's got value to you, if it's something you don't care about, oh, there have been all kinds of stuff that I just haven't come across. I wish I'd never come across. It didn't mean anything to me. Found a pair of socks the other day, had a hole in his bed. Now, if Monica found them, she'd have thrown them away. These were still good socks. I still had a heel. You know what scares me? That sounds just like my dad. He still got a heel. They're good socks. I can still hear him say that to this day. Jeez. You ought to be scared, Monica. He ought to be scared. But when you lose something of that, it tears you up until you find it. I remember one time, before I retired from Country Bar, a woman lost her engagement ring in the store. She said, it was on my finger, my key ring. It's in the store somewhere. And I mean, we tore that store upside down for 2 hours. I pulled as much help as I could trying to help this lady because she was hysterical. We found it. She went, I've never ever closed that store until she found it. She would have stayed there all day and all night until she found it. We found it. You know why? Because it meant something to her. She'd been wearing it for 35 years. It meant something to her. Okay? It wasn't a big old diamond, one, two, or three carat thing. It was just a little old diamond. It didn't mean nothing because it meant that much to her. That was something that her husband gave her. Her husband had since passed away. And it meant more to her than all the gold and silver. Just about. You know, that's what salvation really needs to be for you and I. We need to look for it. We need to find it. And then once we find it, we need to keep looking for Jesus every day through His Word, through His prayer time, and through coming to church. That's how you understand wisdom. That's how you find wisdom. If it means anything to you, you search for it until you find it. Now let me tell you something. What this world needs, as it's going down the tubes faster than we can turn around, this is all good and all. It's one handful of church people that will be left dedicated to the Lord will be people who found wisdom. Churches are closing their doors every day across this world. Because ain't nobody left out. I'm thankful to God to this day. This place ought to be full, but I'm thankful to God for you. These doors are still open. The bills still get paid. Soon going on 30 years here preaching the word the only way I know how to do it. But understand this one thing. We're called to do it. We're supposed to do it. And when you help keep these doors open, you're helping God's will in your life and the life of everybody else. And that's called really the truth of wisdom. It's knowing that God loves you. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Watching me on internet or whether or not they're in this audience, but they need your grace right now. Father, bless. May we have a desire to know your word. May we have a desire to be in your church. May we have a desire to communicate with you every day. Father, bless this congregation. And this pastor, may the gospel never stop being preached here. Father, bless these moments. To those who need time at this altar, we invite you to come. Whatever's on your heart, bring it to God's altar. If you need me to pray with you, I'll be glad to do that. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just come and say, Brother Roger, I want to be saved. I want to ask you a couple questions. We're going to talk for a moment. But it's the greatest decision you'll ever make in your lifetime. Father, bless these moments. In Jesus' name. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Would you come in the name of Jesus?